Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, this 12th day of February, 2024. Keith Rogers has been invited to join me, and I look forward to his participation today. A Putin interview remains a top item of interest in the public domain. Paul Craig Roberts has offered his observations about it. Although his questions were on the sophomoric side, Tucker Carlson did a good thing by giving his 2 hours view of how Putin thinks. The neoconservative warmongers and the shills for the armament industries are angry because Putin did not present as they have portrayed him, an evil aggressor out to conquer Europe. What comes across from Carlson's interview with Putin is that Putin remains a captive after all the betrayals and deceptions he has suffered of his ideal of reaching an agreement with the West. He discounts Washington's insistence on its hegemony. The fact doesn't fit with Putin's idealistic approach to international relations. Putin still hopes for sanity and good to emerge in the West. His idealism blocks him from proactive actions, which he regards as provocative. He has yet to accept that his tolerance of Western aggression encourages more aggression, and thus continues to frustrate the emergence of the cooperative multipolar world that he envisions. I don't think we're going to get the mutual defense treaty between Russia, China, and Iran that would cause Washington's neoconservatives to accept reality and give up their goal of American domination. Watching the interview will help to free you from the propaganda that keeps you in the matrix. My concern remains that Putin's reasonableness will continue to be taken advantage of by Washington until the conflict with Putin, that the conflict Putin seeks to avoid becomes unavoidable. I think that's all very appropriate. Meanwhile, TRT World, the media firestorm behind Carlson's interview with Putin explained. The American pundit's interview with Russian president struck a nerve in the U.S., where officials and media outlets have thus far presented a united front on support for Ukraine. Former Fox anchor Tucker Carlson conducted a two-hour interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin, triggering a United States media firestorm over his softball approach to Moscow's war on Ukraine. Critics said Carlson's largely uncritical questioning enabled Putin to peddle justifications for sustaining the war, sow doubt about U.S. support for Ukraine and send a warning directly to Republican lawmakers that U.S. must agree to cede Ukrainian territory to Russia if it hopes to end the conflict. To a large extent, the media firestorm is expected. After all, Tucker's interview came at a time when discourse over Russia's Ukraine invasion remains highly critical across U.S. media and politics. U.S. and NATO officials have also underscored the need to present a united front on waning Ukraine support. They refuse to entertain any optics of Western capitulation or Russian dominance in the war. Carlson's interview marked a rude break from that long-held line. He struck a nerve by guaranteeing an audience to Putin and delivering a message directly from the aggressor to U.S. masses that Russia can't be defeated in Ukraine. In some ways, the interview simply tested U.S. bounds on Russia. The U.S. Senate is all but united on a $60 billion aid package for Ukraine. And Tucker's interview reflects right-wing frustration over arming Ukraine with hard-earned taxpayer money. Washington claims to uphold values of free speech and opposes curbs on press freedoms. And yet, the statement from the White House to not take at face value anything Putin has to say was striking. Viewers should not take Carlson's interview seriously at all. Years of excess U.S. military and defense spending hasn't brought Ukraine any closer to peace, so why discredit the interview for revealing the obvious? During the exchange, Putin called on the U.S. to end more arms supplies to Kiev in a bid to cool down fighting. The interview and its aftermath confirms that the U.S. establishment is in no mood to rethink a weapons supply category that has kept peace out of reach in Ukraine. Meanwhile, we have Hillary saying Tucker Carlson is what's called a useful idiot. He's like a puppy dog. I think she actually meant lap dog. Listen to Hillary.
Tucker Carlson is in Moscow right now interviewing Vladimir Putin.
Right.
The first American, I'll say, journalist to interview Putin since the war in Ukraine began. What does that tell you about Tucker Carlson and right-wing media and also Vladimir Putin?
Well, it shows me what I think we've all known. He's what's called a useful idiot. I mean, if you actually read translations of what's being said on Russian media, they make fun of him. I mean, he's like a puppy dog. You know, he somehow has, after having been fired from so many outlets in the United States, I would not be surprised if he emerges with a contract with a Russian outlet, because he is a useful idiot. He says things that are not true. He parrots Vladimir Putin's pack of lies about Ukraine. So I don't see why Putin wouldn't give him an interview.
That's just embarrassingly bad. Hillary Clinton, who is a miscreant if ever there were one, it's her activities have even include torturing and killing a young girl with whom Abedin, it's all on a video within a Anthony Weiner laptop. If you want to hear parts of it, go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org on Pizzagate, Real or Illusion, the American franchise of Pedogate. This reduced hardened New York cops who thought they'd seen everything to tears. And for him to suggest Tucker was fired, yeah, he was booted from Fox for political reasons. Because he was raising questions about the legitimacy of the war in Ukraine. And, of course, Hillary's all in. She is among the most repulsive individuals ever on the face of Earth, sad to say. More, speaking to MSNBC, former Secretary of State and presidential candidate Hillary called Tucker a useful idiot, adding, He says things that are not true. Frankly, I haven't heard Tucker say things that aren't true. He parrots Vladimir Putin back up lies about Ukraine. I haven't heard him parroting any lies about Ukraine. Ukraine is losing massively. They don't have the manpower to continue. They've lost around 500,000 troops already. They're out of men. They're out of tanks. They're out of money. Look at Colonel Douglas McGregor or Scott Ritter on Ukraine and ask yourself, who's closer to the truth, Hillary Clinton or Tucker Carlson? It's no contest. Hillary's a propagandist and a shill and a shallow, corrupt as they come individual who's been engaged in child trafficking and is, as I say, child torture and child murder. Repulsive. I don't see why Putin wouldn't give him an interview, because through him he can continue to lie about what his objectives are in Ukraine and what he expects to see happen. Just bullshit. In fact, Putin made it very clear that Russia has no territorial ambitions, that it has actually offered peace with Ukraine more than once. Indeed, it was even done during the interview itself. So the very idea that, you know, Hillary should be complaining about Tucker interviewing Putin is just outrageous. The idea he's going to get a payoff, some kind of contract from the Kremlin. It's rare, the article continues, to see a top-level politician openly insulting a journalist, and it's unclear what such a move accomplishes. To be clear, Tucker has pushed many of, according to this author, though I dispute it, many of Putin's conspiracies and falsehood in the past, including claims that Ukraine was never a real country and that the government of Kiev was micromanaged and sponsored by the United States. Does anyone have any doubt that that's true? Putin, during his history, I mean, he spent 30 minutes on the history of Ukraine, where what has developed in Eastern Europe over the last roughly 1,500 years is extremely complex. Here's Blaine. Ukraine was manufactured out of parts of Poland, Romania, and Hungary. And I read between the lines that if Putin is forced to take all of Ukraine because there will be no peace agreement, and I do believe the West is so eager to continue the war, even though it's losing massively, it's not going to stop short of Russia taking all of Ukraine, that he might very well give back those portions of Ukraine that originally came from Hungary, from Poland, and from Romania. I'm pleased to be joined by Keith Rogers. Keith, we were talking about the Putin interview and how Hillary was accusing Tucker of being a lapdog and a useful idiot. I found all this unbelievably, excruciatingly bad, in that, you know, Hillary is such a contemptible creature. This is just one more manifestation of her irrelevance to American politics today. Your thoughts, Keith?
Well, good morning there, Jim, or afternoon where you're at, I guess. Anyway, it's Hillary Clinton. You know, in my day, they called her the Big C, you know. I mean, she's so bad that her husband would cheat on her. I mean, that tells you the mindset of it. But, you know, Jim, I have research. Well, let me back up. The New York Times says that even the Washington Compost says that we're not supposed to do our own research. But I have researched what this whole Ukraine deal was about, and it is striking about what has been going on in the Ukraine, which, remember, the Guardian ran a paper article about how the Ukraine was the most corrupt country in Europe, and it's a what do you call it? It's like the middle of a spider web. And when you stroke the web like that, everything, you know, the spider comes running out to grab it. Well, that's what everything has collected in Ukraine, and we can see why. And in your comments there about the Carlson interview, I didn't watch any of it. I did, though, see little clippets of it, but from the Russian viewpoint on Telegram. And there's a lot being said on those snippets that most Americans don't get, that the Russian mind would go. And like you had talked with Brian and Scott on your other show, the point that most Americans don't know is when your government is telling you all about some alleged enemy, like, say, Russia, go to Russia. Find out what Russians think, you know. And, of course, what Russians think is what is more important. So,
Gregory, I'm on the air. Call you at the break.
Yeah. I think all this centers around what was going on with Big Pharma. And this is why the United States is so worried about what would happen if say, Russia took back all those oblasts with all those biolabs in them. And I'll give you a reference to here. In the Chicago Chronicles, this is just out here not too long ago, an employee at Pfizer branch in Kiev has exposed a shocking clinical trial conducted by the pharmaceutical company, resulting in the tragic deaths of over 40 Ukrainian children at the time of this revelation there. These trials have been marred by several violations of medical and ethical standards, rising the alarm of concerns. Despite the discovery of these violations in the early stages of the trials and the distressingly high rate of hospitalizations and fatalities, Pfizer stubbornly persists in the continuing of these experiments. Again, let me say that again. Pfizer stubbornly persists in continuing in these experiments. So now, we have the U.S. Air Force not too long ago that was collecting the RNA and DNA of Russians. Why? Well, it's biological warfare. We can go back to earlier, if I get my damn browser open up here. That's not the one I wanted. There we go. I had posted some stuff here earlier, if I can get this stupid Skype screen to jump out of here. Let me scroll up here just a hair. This bioweapons lab stuff. This comes from like with what Israel's doing, Pfizer. We all know that the article that says who are the Jews behind the Pfizer vaccines, that a lot of this all centralizes from one location, Israel, and the United States is determined to defend Israel on any accounts there. So anyway, this comes from the United States website. It's, I believe it was dated August 2005 in Kiev. The agreement between the Department of Defense and the United States of America at the Ministry of Health of Ukraine concerning the cooperation in the area of prevention and proliferation of technology, pathogens, and expertise that could be used in the development of bioweapons or biological weapons. And then we have the, I could draw that up here also, of the Ralph Barrick's email to Dr. Fauci, where it says how we created the bioweapon. And which gets me about when you read something like this and then you you hear Rand Paul sit out there and continually refer to Fauci's emails. And yet, why hasn't he ever brought up the email that is the most important? Which, if I can find it here real fast, I believe it's in my other document here, where it says here, it says, hello, Anthony. Oh, sorry, let me, this is email number 2286. I don't know if you've ever downloaded the entire email thing. I have. Don't do your own research, as it says. This is dated 11th of March, 2020, and it was a coronavirus bioweapon production method. And this is from Adam Gaithner, I believe it's pronounced, to Anthony Fauci at the NIH, NIAID. And it says, subject, coronavirus bioweapon production method. Hello, Anthony. This is how the virus was created. And then it talks about the interferon fusion of HIV-LUC with the ACE2 receptor. The 500 ng of P24 was mixed with 1,000 ng of, you know, it goes on to talk about the HIV. Well, then we have that video, which I could send you a link if you want to play it, which is from BBC, where it talks, well, I should back up. We have Jeffrey Sachs from The Lancet, who was talking about the creation of the vaccine. And in reference to that, he talks about the clamp, not the clamp, but the, what the hell they call it, where they sectioned off the virus in the lab. And then from there, they detail the fact that this area, something had to be added. Well, then the BBC came out with an ad where they talked about this Keith, who was used as part of this. And he says right at that, he says that the HIV virus was added as a clamp. So when you look at that, then you can go over to the article here on autoimmune, which takes you to the article from Live Science, where it says COVID-19 linked to 40% increase in autoimmune diseases, risk in a huge study. You can see from even the WEF comments and others that autoimmune diseases is on the constant rise. We have these massive cancers and stuff. Well, you know, I think the whole thing comes down to one thing, though. Murder has no, what do you call it? In the court, when you start murdering people, it doesn't just drop off the books like that. It's different in war and stuff, but this is intentional. And these were all created from these biolabs. And now they said that Russia was trying to interfere down in Africa on another U.S. bioweapons lab down in Africa. I believe that this is part of all this depopulation agenda. And when you aforementioned all the thing about Ukraine and the, you know, upwards of 500,000, probably more than that, dead there, Victoria Nuland's recent photo there, someone should crop that thing and put all those graves of the Ukrainians behind her. You know, like Tony Blair with his phone of something blowing up behind him, you know. But when I see a photo like that of all these graves and stuff, all I can think of is that, well, hell, that's half the population of Montana. You know, don't people realize the amount of death that is? And you were talking with Brian and Scott on the other show about the tanks and stuff that are being reclaimed and stuff. Can you imagine having to be in one of these reclaiming outfits that go in to get these tanks? You got to realize there's dead bodies in these things. They have to be scraped out. The tanks have to be cleaned. New wiring harnesses put in and stuff. I don't know if you ever seen what it cost, like on a Ford Ranger, what a wiring harness would cost like that. You can imagine the immense cost on these tanks and stuff to rewire these tanks to make them functional again. Years ago, they had a video out, I believe it was from Israel, where they were citing how a single depleted uranium shell, what it would do as it entered a tank and would spin around on the inside like that, chopping people to bits. And then, of course, with any luck, of course, they would hit some ammo and the whole tank would go up to destroy it like that, you know. But people don't realize what death is. And that's why Americans, you know, sadly, we have undertakers, morticians to take care of all the stuff that we have to not do. Whereas when you see the Arabs and stuff, that they personally have to tend to their family victims. They carry them to the grave sites and stuff. Only now we find that the grave sites are being robbed for their organs and stuff. I have a video here from, it's about 4 to 5 minutes long. I dare not post it anywhere, but it I believe the voice is in Italy. I'm not sure about it, but there's hundreds and hundreds of bodies in these rooms that the organs are being carved out of them. Legs, you know, for tendons and stuff like that, for football players and all this stuff, you know, chest cavities open up for one precise organ, and the bodies are just left there laying all over the floor. I don't think people realize what's going on.
Oh, no doubt they have no idea whatsoever, Keith. I think that's 100% correct.
And there's another clause to this, Jim. when you're running this bioweapon that has been documented now to have HIV in it, well, you need another program, which is the LGBT, the queer agenda. Everyone's queer. Okay, well, that's why they're developing all these autoimmune diseases, is because of their sudden lifestyle changes. That's how you hide a murder. Statute of limitations, that's what I was trying to think of earlier. But there's no statute of limitations when it comes to outright murder, because this is how we made the virus. And, of course, this is how they made the vaccine, too. So this is more than just, fraud on a small scale like that. This is deliberate. It's intentional. And now you see, like I say, I listen to five counties here on my two-way from the fire department and stuff. But the amount of people keeling over from heart attacks and all this, people found unresponsive behind their steering wheel. I listened to one where a lady had called on the phone trying to get her vehicle to stop because her husband passed out, and then she passed out. But then you have to start wondering, is it something else? Because what's weird about this, Jim, and this is weird, it's almost like a wave that comes across, if you want to call it radio waves or what like that, but it starts from Kalispell, Polson, Missoula, Ravalli County, that suddenly all the 911s light up and all these heart-related issues are being reported at a certain time. Like it's a wave that goes across the states. Is there something that is being triggered to suddenly cause, and I know a lot of people want to talk about this, I can never think of the word on that thing, but anyway, it's what's added, that graphene oxide. That if you excite graphene oxide and stuff, does it in fact make the blood clot real fast? And is this what's causing the strokes and heart issues and stuff? Is it in fact more of a just a simple vaccine to where it's actually a bioweapon? And is it targeting certain people? And what gets me the most is when you hear that.
Take a deep breath. We'll continue with Rogers right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jim Fetzer here with Keith Rogers talking about Tucker's interview with Putin. Indeed, I think it was disconcerting to the West on multiple grounds because Putin turned out to be so reasonable, so intelligent, so vastly knowledgeable that attempts to demonize him as a warmonger no longer have any plausibility. He also explained how circumstances forced Russia to intervene in Ukraine before the Donbass was subject to slaughter, that he has no territorial ambitions beyond it. And as I was explaining, how Ukraine was put together with parts of Romania, Hungary, and Poland, where I surmise that if he's forced to take all of Ukraine, he may return those parts to Hungary, Romania, and Poland, and keep basically the Donbass, Crimea, and other of these oblasts that have already committed to Russia. Keith, you were expanding considerably beyond. You're welcome to continue. Please pick up wherever.
Okay, well, this is more on the bioweapon stuff, but, and again, I believe a lot of this comes from this same general area. One, I don't believe that America's medical records should be stored in Israel if they're going to be making vaccines, because then you can make designer drugs like mRNA and stuff like that, which could target certain individuals. And I'm not saying that there's something nefarious going on there, but, you know, it's plausibility. The other thing is, when you see mortgage companies now basing their refinancing or actual 30-year mortgages on the status of being vaccinated, now that came to mind. Why are they even summarizing that? And it was mentioned in there about BlackRock and Vanguard in their investments and stuff. So if someone is vaccinated and they have a lower life expectancy or something like that, is there written somewhere in the legal terms there that that any properties or something like that can pass not to the relatives and stuff, but right on to the banking that backed this up? So there's something definitely going on here, and sometimes a person doesn't have the resources and stuff. But back onto your Tucker with Mr. Putin there. In Russia, there was five key points in different videos of what the Russians centered on. And do you know what they were? Russia's security and integrity of its own borders. That was where you could see through the translator and stuff like that, that Russia or Putin had taken a stern stance about Russia's borders will not be violated. And since you mentioned the oblasts that have already been taken there, with which was done through resolution, it wasn't forced or anything like that. Remember, they requested to Russia to join, you know, that those are now considered Russian territory. So just like Crimea, remember when Crimea had the vote and they didn't want to be any part of that push that was going down in Ukraine. So they voted and it was by unanimous. And remember, Crimea, how much gunfire and stuff was taken, took over to take Crimea? None. There was a few celebratory, how do you pronounce that?
Celebratory.
Yeah, there you go. Shots in the air, like, whoa, we made it like that, you know? And of course, Zelensky's pissed because Russia seized one of his mansions there and stuff like that, you know? But I think there's going to be a lot of this spinoff, too, about the $300 billion seized from Russia, because Russia's going to now start seizing assets in tit for tat type stuff, you know. And a lot of this, you'll see that those that internally that are against, say, Putin, are because they're these oligarchs that have had their funds seized by the United States that can't do anything because of what's going on in Ukraine. So naturally, they're pissed off because they haven't got access to their money, you know. But again, this all started by Victoria Nuland, $5 billion U.S. dollars to overthrow a democratically elected government, which is the same scenario in country after country after country. Just like right now, what we're seeing going on in Israel. Well, now Israel has got the United States threatening to sanction, if have to be, the South African countries that are involved in this lawsuit through the criminal courts.
How insane is that?
Yeah.
It's like here in the U.S., yeah. Anyone who speaks up on behalf of law and order, for example, regarding the borders, is being attacked. Anyone who protests the theft of the election, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed, Keith, a new study of mail-in balloting has revealed that there was enough fraud actually admitted by those who committed the mail-in fraud to alter the outcome in six swing states and thereby give the election a bite. That's already out there. Multiple sources are reporting it. So, you know, those of us who have denied that this was the most fair and safe and secure election in American history, of course, have been vindicated, but then we've been vindicated many times in the past. I was calling it out at the time because I was paying attention to the pre-election polling and to the post-election exit polling, and they all showed Trump had secured an overwhelming victory. My best estimate, Trump over 100 million votes, Biden about 37. But then we had, in addition, we had my senator here in Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, brought in a whole bunch of experts. We have Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 mules. We have Mike Lindell, expert after expert after expert. I mean, it's just outrageous when the evidence is simply overwhelming that the mainstream media simply continues to parrot the official party line. I mean, it's enough to make you vomit, but that's what the United States has come to today. And so you have Israel committing massive public genocide being broadcast 24/7 to the world, wanting to go after and punish nations like South Africa that called it out. It said what everyone can see with their own eyes, that Israel is committing genocide. Keith, it's so insulting. It is so disgraceful. It is so disgusting. Pick it up.
Yeah, well, there was another recent thing here about, quotes, the rule of law, where the United States now wants to rein in those that they're supplying arms to under their so-called rule of law, saying that they want to make sure that none of these arms are going to bad actors. Let's just put it that way. Well, in Gaza already, we've seen the SAM, shoulder-launched munitions that Hamas is using. We've seen it down in Mexico, where they've got the same basic things. All these arms are going all over the world. At the same time, of course, they're trying to disarm Americans. But you find out that all it is that the United States is a huge arms supplier of the world, which in turn causes more internal strife, external conflicts, in which under the so-called terrorism, war on terrorism, the U.S. uses its influence to go into and what used to be called policing actions, to sit there and bomb the hell out of some country. And usually, this is what gets me, Jim, and I know you're a veteran and everything like that, but when you look at all these conflagrations, as they call them, Vietnam, a bunch of village people that are fighting to keep their freedom. Who cares if they were communists? Because Vietnam today is still communist. You know, the same thing in Panama, the hill people all through the South, South America, the Contras, all this stuff is basically using death squads to go after the people to keep their economy so distorted that they can't make a living, so that all those countries have to wait on the supplies of the United States through either foreign aid or whatever like that, which goes back to the Marshall Plan. I remember when the CIA was commenting about how they used the mob to go into Italy to destroy the unions and stuff under the auspices of fighting communism, to then destroy their unions so that the people needing to bury their loved ones, rebuild their homes and stuff. But there's more to that, because it seems every time you look at all these arms, all the wars that are caused from them is just to basically soak people into massive debt, which keeps this country afloat through its fraudulent banking system.
Yes, yes, of course, of course.
And there's another article here. It says, this is from a Swiss newspaper. I can't pronounce the name there because it's in Swiss, but it says nuclear weapons are no longer taboo. And it goes on to talk here. It says anyone who categorically thought or excludes the use of tactical nuclear weapons weakens its deterrent potential. According to the NZZ author Eric Guer, the authoritative quartet there, consisting of Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, has so confused the cards of the West that dictators should now be frightened by any means. Previously, the journalists nostalgically said that the West dominated and interfered wherever it wanted. But now, the bad dictators of the West are no longer afraid of playing their next game. If they are not afraid, then it's time to scare them with an atomic war, concludes Mr. Goyer, a real European humanist. And as you can see, it's not exactly Stoltenberg over there, who chooses to use the atomic war. So, again, now we're under nuclear blackmail, which all seems to me, between all the vaccines, the wars, the arms sailing, the genocides, that we're in a massive depopulation agenda.
Well, of course, absolutely, 100%. But I think that the Hamas, you know, Israel's slaughter of the Palestinians is a very special, I mean, that's religiously, politically driven by the Israeli presumption that they're entitled to the lands of Palestine, which, of course, as I've repeatedly explained, has no legitimate foundation. But, of course, it all does contribute to the depopulation agenda. There's no doubt about it. I do not believe, however, in this instance, that it's motivated to contribute to the depopulation agenda, unlike, for example, the vax, the whole procedure with the vax and measures akin to that, Keith.
Well, there's other ones, too, about how I'm trying to think of the name of the show. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, he was highlighting here. He had an Iraqi historian on there about how the Jews had used 5 bombs in Iraq to bomb their own Jewish people to get them through security to move to Israel. On September 27th of last year, we had the Biden administration issuing special visa passports for Jews to leave Israel. And then we had over 300,000 Jews that had left Israel. And then suddenly the Ben-Gurion airport was being bombed, allegedly by Hamas. And then we had the inscription of the IDF to bring all those Jews back home. And the article, though, which was basically from a CIA file, which I'd have to read it to you here, but it talks about how the Jews, or the Zionists, I should probably say in this case, the Zionists are willing to have their own Jews killed just to promote their agenda here. And this is called a complicated transformation of Haganah into army. And on this, it's dated 2016. and it's approved for release, and this is through the CIA. It gives you the batch number and all that stuff like that from the Central Intelligence Group regarding Palestine. And it goes on, but down here on the line, down the bottom line, it says, but the agency officials has expressed the belief that they will be able to withstand attack until this Haganah is equipped with artillery, tanks, and aircraft. And then it says the Jewish agency is apparently willing to sacrifice Jews residing in the Arab countries for the cause of the Jewish people as a whole. So basically, Israel is free to do what it wants clear across the Arab world. Remember, there's over 50,000 Jews that live in Iran. And I remember the in the video, Don't Tell My Mother I'm From Iran, this young, I think he's a British boy, was interviewing one of the rabbis over there in I think Tehran it was. And they asked him, well, why haven't you moved to Israel if it's so bad here for Jews in Iran, you know? And he says, no. He says, we have perfect freedoms here. We have members in parliament, all that stuff, you know. And then he says, we were offered $50,000 each to move to Israel. But we're at peace here, he says. But see, that's what they have to keep constantly stirring us up to form their Jewish state. They have to have residents. And this is, like I said, with 300,000 leaving Israel right after September 27th, well, you wouldn't need a Jewish state if everyone's fleeing. So then, like I say, you have all this alleged terrorism here, Iranian snipers, Hamas coming across the border. You know, this is all to scare the Jews back home, in which they could be sacrificed to form this Jewish state.
Yes, yes, yes.
And like Scott mentioned there, the fact that maybe, or even Brian, the fact that whatever is coming could be used against our own detriment here, because they, who knows? I did see a video where it looked like a training camp down in Panama, where it looked like some of these so-called immigrants might be getting militarized. And we had Gulen before that we talked about on the other show, which was who Erdogan wanted for terrorism over in Turkey that the United States was sheltering here. We had the MEK that was being trained in Northern Nevada that Seymour Hersh has talked about. But you'll find that a lot of problems in the world emanate from the United States that is creating the terrorism to, I always call it, it's like a mortician who moonlights as a serial killer just to keep business going.
Yes.
You've been coughing a lot lately. Are you okay?
Oh, I've got a bad cold. My wife had a major respiratory problem. So, yeah, no, I'm coping with it. Go ahead.
I heard on your last show you were coughing a little bit too. So
yes.
All right. So, anyway, yeah, it's just like, and of course, the words that you hear from Blinken and those guys, I mean, these guys sound like pure psychopaths. They don't care about human life. They, you know, there's a, I mean, they list the amount of arms that have been sent to Israel. If you're an American and you care about human life, regardless of your own, you know, I always think of it like a firefighter. A firefighter doesn't give a damn when the pager goes off about who you're going to help, whether they're tribal or white or anyone else like that. You go out to help, you know. But when you see your tax dollars being used to deliberately murder people, like this morning there was a picture of a woman and a child headed to the hospital, and they were sniped to death right in broad daylight. No one cares. That's, and that takes years of dehumanizing people. It's like George Bush Sr. when he talked about Saddam as being the evil Hitler. Well, remember, Prescott Bush was laundering money for the evil Hitler, you know? I mean, these guys don't make sense.
Yes. No, I agree completely, Keith.
And there's more to this, too, because it seems like there's a backlash now on the LGBT agenda over in Ukraine. And I thought it was kind of funny since Zelensky is been filmed in New York when his, what do you call it, in his bra, in his weird outfit. But anyway, that there's people over there in Ukraine now that are fighting against the LGBT propaganda and stuff. And of course, this morning, persons painted the facade of the cinema over there in Ukraine. They're putting their swastika stuff like that across all the LGBT stuff like that. You know, and I'm going, well, geez. I mean, they call it the gay disco over there, because if you've seen any of the videos coming out of Ukraine, and they're doing all this mobilization, which, of course, they're fighting back against. Entire towns are running the Ukrainian inscription guys out now. They don't want their kids to die in war and stuff. But what was funny about it, though, is that as they're trying to mobilize everyone, people are fighting back now. And I have a video, not a video, but a photo here of this young Ukrainian boy. Boy, he's probably in his 20s or something like that. But he's got an entire tattooed chest on that looks like a German uniform. It's tattooed. All the swastika insignia. I mean, these guys are, they've bought into a propaganda type thing there. And then one of the things that Russia has posted here, it shows the censored part of the interview, and it's where Putin holds up a poster, and it shows Zelensky in his dancing drag and stuff like that, you know. But that wasn't aired over here, you know.
No, of course, there's massive censorship. Anything unflattering to Zelensky would be excluded, and anything unflattering to Putin, true or false, would receive massive publicity. Similarly with Trump and Biden. I mean, it's the bias of the press is a great disadvantage to the American people, because we can't get straight reporting about anything.
Here's another funny one. It says, this is Canada, where this Metro Vancouver Transit police said they don't know whether a sexual assault suspect is male or female, despite having semen evidence. And on top of that, we have over in Africa, remember, the United States placed sanctions on Uganda because Uganda would not accept the LGBT agenda. So now here's a video from Africa where this allegedly woman is talking about the rights of lesbians and gays, and all LGBTQIA plus are human rights. The point is, though, is, again, when you start looking up the countries that have received these so-called vaccines and stuff, which, again, look like they have the HIV in them, again, if you wanted to depopulate the world, you'd sell it, because sex is a political tool. Just like you see from the Franklin scandal, the Epstein stuff. God knows how many people have been bought off. And I think you've got that image there where I sent you about the 1,160 CEOs that suddenly all vacated their jobs and stuff before the pandemic, you know. So someone had to have known what was coming. And to destroy the American economy, and I don't care if now we're at the point where all these immigrants and stuff, if it's to bring in slave labor, fine, like that, you know. But again, it's bankrupting, just like Yellen before McCarthy, Senator McCarthy there, basically says that, remember, it was inflation was transitory, and now it's here to stay. And now they're saying, well, high prices are here to stay, too. How are people going to be able to survive here? They're bankrupting this country to fight two wars that no one here benefits from in the least. And yet our taxes are going to go up and down. It's like they're going to destroy America just to, I mean, it's like the Israelis. Yesterday they put up a photo. It says two Israeli hostages were rescued. Yeah, but it took two IDF soldiers, both 21, I believe, and a bunch of other ones that were shot up to rescue two. So what was the trade-off?
Yeah.
No one cares about human life. It's just human life is being used as a political tool to further an agenda. Like, you don't hear any sad stories about all the Ukrainians that have lost their lives. No, you hear about some guy that's moving to Ukraine to build prosthetics because it's of a lucrative business, he said. So he's going to capitalize off of making arms and legs and stuff like that for those soldiers that have lost their arms and legs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's same thing with all these investors and stuff. Oh, buy Pfizer stock, stuff like that, you know. Well, yeah, but you're buying into the death machine. Look at all these people in the stock market. They're buying Raytheon, Boeing, and all these guys, McDonnell Douglas, all this stuff, you know. They're investing off making money off the deaths of other people. Or as Blinken would say, 90% of the money sent to Ukraine stays at home to create jobs. Well, that's great. I'm glad that I'm able to work and support my family, pay my mortgage and stuff by making sure that other people are dying. Does that make sense?
to the death industry.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Kamala Harris says that she is ready to serve as Biden as he faces his age security. This is from the Wall Street Journal. So how would you think of Kamala Harris as a president?
No, I know it's embarrassing. I think that's one of the reasons that the Republicans have felt inhibited from impeaching Biden, who's doing a great job of discrediting himself, of course.
Oh, as a matter of fact, Mayorkas, in his vote to get thrown out there, the ones that voted against it, well, they broke it down. They're all the largest recipients of IPAC funds.
Who are, Keith, the senators who support more money for Ukraine and Israel, all the highest recipients? Yes.
Well, no, this was on for immigration, about Mayorkas, for having him impeached for his lack of, But as far as the other one, I bet you it's the same thing, because most Americans know that a lot of these politicians would not get elected because Americans say, look, I mean, we're in the same age bracket, basically, but we can look at what America used to be compared to what it is today, with people crapping in the streets, the subways systems are filthy, everything like that, 55,000 bridges in need repair, $3 billion a year on auto damage and stuff, So what have politicians done for America? Nothing. So most Americans would sit there and say, well, I'm not voting for that jerk. Like, he hadn't done anything for this country. So IPAC supports him because of what foreign affairs are, which is war, which brings more immigrants, displaced persons, and, of course, it brings massive amounts of loans to the IMF to rebuild areas, allegedly, that have been destroyed.
Keith, stand by. We'll be right back with Keith Rogers after this break. Don't go away.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Keith, please do continue. You're making so many excellent points.
Well, you know, Jim, like I say, I'm out in a farming area here, rural Montana. It's, I mean, really peaceful and like that. You know, if a farmer's barn goes up or something like that, everyone goes to help put out the fire. Usually everyone helps try to rebuild or at least contribute some way like that. And I notice that there's a massive trend, and I've emailed you about this. It's a kind of constructive whatever like that, but I see that whether it's with Russia or what like that, there is a huge surge of racism. And they're trying to use that against the people right now to get everyone so you don't trust anyone. It's kind of like the six-foot thing. Stay 6 feet away. Don't talk to anyone. Your neighbor's your enemy. And what it does, it shuts down communications. Just as much as for years they've infiltrated the militias, everything like that. They've done all this, and I'll go along with this, with what we see with the farmers in Germany, Poland, and stuff. Whether they're dumping Ukrainian grain and throwing out, say, French products or whatever. You know, a lot of this might sound, hey, this is good, like that. The farmers are fighting back. Yeah, but it's also adding to the coming depopulation agenda, because if, like Kissinger said, if you control the food, you control the people. So I get really leery about that, just like I mentioned before about it. Suddenly around the world, there's all these Palestinian flags and stuff, you know. And now we're starting to see where over in the UK, they're clamping down on the Palestinians. Well, they're not Palestinians, they're people. If you look at the videos, they're whites, they're blacks, they're everyone. They're all protesting what's going on over in Israel. It's so... Again, but they're trying to make it so that anyone's in a group, organization like that, that these groups can be demonized, you know, and then, of course, disbanded, you know. And now we have a here from The Hague. Now, this is right from The Hague here, where The Hague has ordered the Netherlands to stop producing any parts for the F-35, which could be used in Israel within 1 week. So, again, the world is coming, you know, so what's the U.S. going to do? Oh, by the way, on that thing about South Africa, the lady that had initialized one of these claims there says that she is receiving threats, as well as they're mentioning her children specifically. So, again, this shows you how evil some people are, that they would go to the extremes of killing. Remember when Mike Pompeo... was threatening the ICC court for Israel's crimes, and as well as United States crimes over in Afghanistan, that they were even threatening the families of the ICC court. So, I mean, the rule of law is changing, though, because more and more people are waking up to the fact that the old United States-based, we control everything and like that, you know, is being moved away to where it's a more diplomatic thing. Marco Rubio had mentioned the thing about sanctions, or it was one of the Latin American countries joining BRICS. Marco Rubio says, well, that means we can't sanction them anymore. See, again, sanctions are a political tool used, but again, it starves millions of people at the behest of U.S. foreign policy or domestic. I mean, I would hate to think that, yeah, I love America. This is my country. I love Montana more, but I would hate to think that my sustaining my life depended on making sure millions of other people had to die just so I could survive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, go. Yes.
I mean, it's so sad that so many people would actually think that. And they use that through a lot of this false patriotism. You know, like when I was a satellite installer, got a call to that one of the taverns, one of their big monitors went out, and they assumed it was a receiver, so I went there, and this just happened to be on the shock and awe night of bombing Iraq. And you had all these drunken Montanans sitting up there at the bar going, USA, USA, as the bombs were dropping, and it was in a total lie. A million died while they sat there drinking their beer and stuff, watching TV. It's sad. Oh, and there was another thing. It was someone from Russia that was noting that the U.S.'s sudden influence into the Middle East again might be one of these, like, DOS attacks, you know, denial of service, for China, because China's economy survives off a lot of Middle Eastern oil as well as Russian. So if the U.S. starts taking over that, of course, you know, bomb Iran and stuff. If the U.S. again starts taking over all the oil fields and stuff in all these wars, regardless of whether you look, whether it's Venezuela, remember John Bolton said he didn't care about Venezuela, it was the oil. What's Russia? It's the largest gas station. We have a government here that sits there and thinks that it owns all the resources of the world. It just happens to be underneath people that live there. And, of course, the minute they nationalize the oil and they make it so that it's profitable for their people, call it socialism or whatever you want, you know. But as you know, like what Gaddafi was doing, he was turning the whole of the Middle East, North Africa into an oasis over there. If you wanted to farm, you got free land. You got tractors. You got all this stuff, you know. It reminds me of Schultz when he was talking about Nicaragua after Somoza fled. And he says that if the model of what was going on in Nicaragua was seen in America, it would become a cancer because they need people to be in total despair, relying on U.S. foreign aid. Of course, to do that, you have to accept U.S. policies, which a lot of them are depopulation agenda. They have a quota about birth rates and stuff, and it's all documented. Why is the United States running this massive thing? And then, out of all these other ones, there's these beautiful video series on YouTube called Amazing Quest. And you can watch these things where it's Paraguay and stuff, one person for every 5 miles. What about the population, you know? And it shows hundreds of miles of undisturbed territory, miles and miles and miles of open beaches and stuff. I thought there's a population problem, you know? But what they do is they centralize everyone in these big cities, and then they call it out and say, well, look how many people there are here. Yeah, but you did that. You purposely moved them into there so you could centralize them, put your spying cameras up there, you know, to watch people just like it's some scene out of Terminator and stuff. They're now complaining that Russia's using Starlink satellite systems. Well, it's a game, you know, dog-eat-dog world like that, you know. Russia can depend on them just as much as Ukraine can, you know. But it's commerce. Everyone likes to get in on the deal, you know. It's sad, really.
Yep, absolutely. And of course, there's so much going on here. You know, I'm just reverting back to NATO, where Trump has upset critics with an anecdote about NATO spending, where he put pressure on the European nations to contribute the 2% of their GDP, which they had committed to doing, but were not. And one of the presidents of a big country stood up and said, this is Trump relaying, well, sir, if we don't pay and we're attacked by Russia, will you protect us? And I said, you didn't pay. You're delinquent. And he said, yes. Let's say that happened. No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay, Trump said. Some critics took Trump's comment as suggesting allow the U.S. to neglect its Article 5 obligations if Russia were to attack one of NATO's allies. But he's treating it like an insurance policy teeth, you know, that if you don't pay your premiums, you don't enjoy the benefit. This was an inducement. He didn't mean it literally. He meant it figuratively. Your thoughts?
Well, he didn't say anything with South Korea. Remember, he said that the U.S. has a base there in South Korea, and they paid like $3 billion, something like that, annually for that base to be there to protect it, of course. But you got to realize the CIA goes around it beforehand. They stir up trouble like that to cause problems so that they need a base there in the first place. But anyway, one of Donald Trump's most notable statements lately was he says, from this point forward, are you listening to the U.S. Senate? No money in the form of foreign aid should be given to any country unless it's done as a loan, not just a giveaway. It can be loaned on extraordinarily good terms, like no interest and unlimited life, but a loan nevertheless. The deal should be contingent that the U.S. is helping you as a nation, but if the country we are helping ever turns against us or strikes it rich sometimes in the future, the loan will be paid off and the money returned to the United States. We should never give money anymore without the hope of a payback or without strings attached. The United States of America should be stupid no longer. Well, that's good sound policy. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. See, Trump approaches from a businessman's point of view. He wants to get us on a firm foundation financially. And of course, the United States is wildly out of whack. This is just one of innumerable reasons why I think having Trump as president has been very good in the past and would be extremely good in the future. Not to mention that the alternatives are horrendous. People who are utterly irresponsible, incompetent, or have negative motivation to assist America or intent on destroying it, such as the entire Biden administration.
Well, a lot of it I look at, Jim, it's kind of like having a nice, fresh glass of refreshing, say, ice water, hot day or like that. But does that ice water sound good if you just put one drop of arsenic in it? Not quite, you know. And this is how U.S. foreign policy has gone for years. Donald Trump mentioned the strings. Remember this happened during the Philippines when they wanted to buy arms from Russia. And I forget the guy's name there. It'll come to me later. But anyway, he said, well, he bought Russian arms because the U.S. ones comes with strings. And they said, well, what are the strings? Well, to get the IMF loan to buy the arms and stuff like that from Russia or the United States, I would have to accept the strings, which is, in fact, the genetically modified crops, you know, grains and all the stuff like that, soy, whatever, you know. And so all these strings, and a lot of these countries, like Europe, a lot of these places do not allow GMO, genetically modified crops and stuff, which Russia produces non-GMO. And that's why so many people accept Russian grain and stuff over that of the United States. And who do you see already, as you mentioned on your other show there with young George Soros, in there with Monsanto and those guys divvying up Kiev and stuff to do what? Produce these massive amounts of genetically modified grains and stuff. Aren't we as a people tired of having our genes through either mRNA or something like that in these vaccines and stuff, having them modified to where suddenly, you know, like say when I grew up, you knew one or two people that might be a little queer or something like that. Now it's like everyone's come out of the woodwork. Is this intentionally done by genetically modifying things to turn us all into this trans type agenda, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we always look for something good, you know. But it just seemed like there's so much bad to look at. but it's nefarious because it seems like it's the corporations that are doing it. Just like in, if you want to hear Trump say China, China, and what China's done to America, yeah, well, 350 U.S. businesses are in China. The first thing Trump should do is say, look, get your businesses out of China, bring all those jobs back for Americans, and we'll, you know, call it even like that. But they do that for tax breaks and stuff. And they'll actually move an actual headquarters to be based in, say, Switzerland or something like that, where there's virtually zero tax on a U.S. corporation. And they'll run the corporations from that country, and they'll do their whole world profile over that, the multinationalism like that, you know. And they're making money. And the U.S., which is where the firm started, doesn't get any of the benefits because you can't tax them. And then you got all your politicians out there that are willing to tax the little people, IRS agents, 80,000 like that, to go after Americans like that. But what about these big corporations who have their monies laundered in these offshore accounts and stuff? Of course, I always wondered here, speaking of that, if they're going to bring out this central bank digital currency, which Donald Trump did say he's going to stop. But if they're going to bring out all these CDs like that, how is the CIA and all these drug cartels going to be able to get their drugs across the planet? Who's going to buy them? Or how are they going to buy them?
Yes.
Well, there was a good article on Zero Hedge. I was going to try to find it for you if you get a chance to read it. But it was let me see if I can find the damn thing real fast. Oh, where did it go? I wanted to get the right title for you. Here it is. Escobar, why Medvedev is free to go full Born to be Wild. And again, that's why Medvedev is free to go Born Wild on Zero Hedge. Very good article about how Russia has been stabbed in the back so many times by these neocon type things. Washington, the West over in Germany and stuff, to where they're even trying to excite Poland now to war with Russia, you know. Of course, I believe this goes back to the Pale of Settlements there. But if you read that article there, you can see that, you know, everyone knows Ukraine lost. And the West is not going to give up. And so there's, like you see with the recent aid package being forced and stuff like that, even that over immigration, that they want this war with Russia. And if they keep pushing, that's why the article's titled Medvedev to go full Born to be Wild, because he's the one that has said, you know, that again, you start threatening Russia, its territory, it's game over. So we should probably develop that same type of attitude here, because our borders are threatened. And what we have, the same batch of people, as long as well as the United Nations, that is pushing this UN forced immigration, that would all come to an end if U.S. policy would change, U.S. foreign policy would change, because if you stop bombing people out of their cities, their villages, there wouldn't be a need for them to leave their home countries. But it's just a policy that the United States has. And like the old saying from Pastor Wright, that America's chickens have come home to roost.
Yeah.
You have to be a realist. We're not in control of this government. It's like I remember writing our senator and congressman here in Montana. You write to them about a specific thing, and you get a form letter back about, oh, we're doing so much with COVID and Ukraine. I didn't say anything about COVID in Ukraine. See, you're getting form letters back. There's no communication between your local representatives whatsoever. And I think the only way to do that is to, en masse, write these politicians and let them know that we know what you guys are doing. Because I know what, if in the event of civil war and stuff, these guys are going to be the first ones that are drug out and hung, you know. And I don't say that as an incitement or something like that, but that's how people are. It's old Western justice that people get tired of seeing that their country is being sold out to either big pharma corporations, and now they're going after the home gardening and stuff, saying that a home garden causes more CO2 damage than a corporate farm does or whatever. These are outright lies, and people are catching on to this lie that this climate change stuff, you know. If they'd stop spraying our skies and that that if you read the article, which is based on Event 201, that says weather as a force multiplier, download the PDF and read it. It's all based on simulations, and it's exactly what the World Economic Forum is pushing. It's all simulated, like Bill Gates, you know. The one you played there about Al Gore. All these guys sitting there telling us, oh, the world's going to burn. There'll be no snow within 10 years and stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, we got snow here in Montana. We're supposed to get another 3 inches today, you know. But all this lies about how we have to do this for the carbon stuff. And you watch these chemical fires around the countries, the forest fire stuff. Those things emit more CO2 fumes and stuff, just like the thousand some volcanoes that they never talk about. It's only human caused, as well as watching chemical plants, ammo plants, all this stuff burn, massive, huge, billowing clouds of black smokes, train derailments and stuff. They don't talk about those. It's only human caused. It's only human caused. Corporations can do what they want.
You know, this special counsel report by this guy, who, you know, exonerated Biden from legal consequences because he was an elderly man with a poor memory. He's got a personal attorney, Bob Bauer, wife, senior Biden advisor Anita Dunn, attacked her report as a shabby work product with factual misstatements and pejorative comments. Bauer claimed her inconsistent with DOJ policy and norms, but when he was on a show here, the host began to ask if the president had problems recalling details. He wouldn't answer that directly. He said he gave his best recollection after he confirmed that there are transcripts of Biden interviews. The host asked, do you favor releasing them? And he equivocated, well, it's really a decision that has to take place within the government. It's a classified document. Would you recommend these be made public if they indeed back up your personal recollection? Again, there's a process underway. This is on Face the Nation, Keith. Check this out.
And we're joined now by President Biden's personal attorney, Bob Bauer, a former White House counsel during the Obama administration. He's also married to Biden White House senior advisor, Anita Dunn. Welcome, and good to talk to you in person.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So the special counsel determined no prosecution should happen in regard to the mishandling of classified information. This was a decision in your favor. But you asked the special counsel to reevaluate what you called, quote, highly prejudicial language. Did anyone appeal directly to Attorney General Garland or the Justice Department on that point?
Well, we made submissions in paper on those points, but let me just take a step back.
To the special counsel.
To the special counsel, and we reiterated them again on paper to the Attorney General, because this is a report that went off the rails. It's a shabby work product. Let's take a step back. It starts with a legal conclusion that was foregone from the very beginning. The investigation could have been concluded in 2 or 3 months. It went on for over 15 months. And so along with the legal conclusion comes this flood of characterizations, factual misstatements, pejorative comments about the president that are inconsistent with DOJ policy and norms. And that, as you see, over the last 48 hours have been widely criticized by legal experts. This is not what prosecutors do. It is shoddy work product.
But it was the Attorney General's commitment to make this public that put this in this space. Did you ever ask the Justice Department not to make it public?
No.
Or consider doing so?
No.
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 And what did the Attorney General say when you raised these issues to him?
It's evident that he had committed to make the report public the way that the special counsel had written it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the report that we have.
Because he did not release any additional letter or anything. Did the Attorney General essentially endorse this work product?
I cannot say, I won't speak for the Attorney General's views. I can simply say that the arguments that we made about the inconsistency of this report with basic norms, setting aside the foregone clear legal conclusion in the president's favor, the failures of this report that we brought up did not ultimately change the outcome.
So in terms of Justice Department policy, things are different in terms of regulation for a special counsel. And I want to ask you specifically about what I think you're referring to as pejorative comments. You're specifically talking about what the language here from Heard, that the president didn't remember when he was vice president. He forgot the first day of the interview when his term ended. When did I stop being vice president? He forgot on the second day of the interview when his term began, and within several years could not recall when his son, Beau, died. Is that specifically the part that you think is pejorative?
That's among the problems with the work product. Again, I'm taking it outside the legal analysis, which was foregone and correct. Mm-hmm. I'm taking it to misstatements of fact and commentary that's totally inappropriate, including the comments that you're referring to.
So when you say misstatements of fact, you were in the room.
I was.
For this deposition.
Yes,
over 2 days, 5 hours.
Correct.
Did the president have problems recalling details?
I recall from that interview a president who engaged with the questions very directly and gave his best recollection. And in fact, I think was quite helpful to the special counsel, who elsewhere in the report actually cites as compelling and forceful one piece of that testimony. Let me tell you a striking sort of vignette, as I recall it, from the interview. The special counsel opens by thanking the president for making the scheduled appointment. Mm-hmm. It could have been rescheduled given international events. And he makes a point of saying, we're grateful that knowing what else is going on in the world, that you kept the appointment.
Should it have been rescheduled?
And then he proceeds, I'll address that question as well. Then he proceeds to say, I'm going to be taking you through events that are many years ago. Mm-hmm. He flags that. So all I can ask is your best recollection. And that is precisely what the president did. He engaged, he answered the questions, and the special counsel's decision to cherry pick in a very misleading way some of the references that you're discussing here is an example of what I call a really shabby work product and completely out of bounds for a prosecutor. I should mention also, Margaret, the special counsel rules do not exempt the special counsel from DOJ norms and policies. In fact, they specifically hold the special counsel to DOJ norms and policies.
Well, we'll continue with that. We'll also invite your calls right after this break.
I have a comment about that, too.
Yeah, we're going to go for it, Gene. Absolutely.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we do have a first caller, and let me share the number, 608-957-8727. I repeat, 608-957-8727. First of all, however, I'd like to say that this personal attorney for Biden doesn't dispute the truthfulness of Herr's report, but is upset he included details about his memory in the report, which is an important distinction. If he's going to not prosecute him because he's got a bad memory, surely he needs to explain that that's the reason why. And one would presume it's going to be substantiated by the transcript of these interviews. Plus, Biden, or the guy who calls himself Biden, got bent out of shape about this and went out with a rebuttal in which he claimed that there weren't any classified documents in there, which is untrue, contradicts the official reports, and they were all in secure locked areas, untrue. There was a box right in his garage by his beloved Corvette. I mean, the guy came out and gave an incoherent defense that was factually wrong. Keith, yeah, I want yours, and then we'll bring in our caller. Go ahead, Keith.
All right, well, first of all, the video started out with, he was married to a White House insider. That's your flag there. Anyone can read the article called Biden's Minion. So out of 525 representatives of the United States government, 457 all belong to the same tribe. When you listen to him talk about Garland and stuff, well, if you've listened to Garland talking before Josh Hawley and others, even Ted Cruz and those guys, he obfuscates, with Roe versus Wade, the attack on the Catholic Church, putting informants in the Catholic Church, same thing with Mayorkas. They obfuscate, they'll submit the stuff in due time. You know, everything has been made to the point where it's always kicked down the road. The can is kicked down the road. And I seriously can't believe that these politicians that are sitting there doing these I love the word grilled too. Mayorkas is grilled or Blinken is grilled. They never submit any evidence on time. They have to repeatedly request for it. It's always denied. They can't comment on it because of an ongoing investigation. Do you see how this is going here?
Sure.
And then suddenly they come up with this Biden thing, a puppet. Just like whenever Biden is asked a question, who's always in the background? Blinken? Like he's getting ready to, with the, you know, those old vaudeville shows with the big hook? It's always like he's getting ready to jerk Biden off the stage if he says something wrong like that. He's a puppet. He doesn't know what he's doing up there. And then, of course, the video you played with Brian and Scott there about Biden checking his memory, he goes off on his son Bo again like it's the Holocaust. You know, it's the first thing that whatever happens when these guys, like Blinken and these guys, are being grilled for something like that, they always invoke the Holocaust. That shuts down all debate.
Just ridiculous. Okay, we got area code 816. Join the conversation, please.
Well, I was going to tell you what to do about your horrible cold first, Jim. I've got an easy way to fix it. Is you remember Joyce Riley, who had the power hour? Okay. Sure. She has the power mall, and you can order something called Oreganol. Just like it sounds, R-O-R-E-G.
It's a common spice, Brian. I got it in the kitchen right here now.
Well, it's not like this. I mean, yeah, oregano is what you're talking about. Oregano is a liquid in a little bottle, and it's super powerful. I got pneumonia, and I took it, and it knocked it out. My daughter got mono and ear infection, and she didn't believe me, and I said, just try it and put a few drops in some water, and she took it, and I mean, it was almost immediate. Her mono's gone, her ear infection's gone. You know, it really works well. So,
Brian,
anyway.
Good. Oregano. Thank you for that.
And you have to get it. You have to get it from the power mall because there's a lot of fakes out there because it's so effective and they don't want people using it. What I wanted to bring up is I found this wonderful article on the internet by a Kimberly Guggen, G-O-G-U-E-N. It was 2 hours, and she was on the chalkboard, and she was talking about the dark cabal, how they work, and everything she said resonated with what I believe, what Paul believes, and she went into details on the Rothschilds, the Order of the Black Sun, the dragon families, the dark royal families, the black nobility, the Orsinis, and explained how everything works, and it was just so well done. You can find it on prepareforchange.net, and I thought I'd bring it up to you because you would really enjoy that. Paul would really enjoy it. Goes into detail on the Rothschild operatives and who makes up the operatives and things like all of your aides that work for these congressmen and whatnot. They're actually the ones controlling things. The congressmen are just puppets, and these aides are the ones that write the bills and do all this stuff. And it was really fascinating. So anyway,
very, very good.
That's
we
what
got
I had to say.
That's good, Brian. We have a second caller from 608 area code. Please join the conversation.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Keith.
Reagan. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm going to jump tracks a little bit, and I'm not going to give you my special soup recipe because I'm way far away from you, but I'd bring it to you with galanga and lemongrass. It seems to work in ways that they don't really know, but it will kill a cold. Anyway, may I ask how long the cold has been persisting?
Oh, mine? Oh, this is last week, but Jan has an upper respiratory. She's had pneumonia. I've just picked it up from her, Reagan.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm just curious because I have other friends in the same position as I think we talked about last week, but still you have your good booming voice. So I wanted to switch gears just a little bit. I think I sent maybe a link over the weekend, which is, you know, your time off, but there was a curious case on the Lufthansa Airlines flight from Bangkok to Munich. They allowed the person to board, and he was showing signs of terrible distress, medical distress. And I won't go into details because they're really gory, but I can send you some links. But they were talking it up to maybe it was pneumonia, but it acted very much like Marburg's syndrome or Marburg's virus, or Ebola, but it was a scene straight out of The Exorcist. So if anyone wants to do a search on Munich, Bangkok, Lufthansa, man dies, or punch in liters of blood. So it's concerning because what Lufthansa did was they did not quarantine anyone. The guy was already he was long since dead before the captain even or before the captain even turned the plane around. They didn't quarantine anyone, not even the wife who was right next to him. And some have speculated that this might be a new variant or something of the sort, which I'm sure you remember Bill Gates and Melinda kind of chuckling about, well, people are going to pay attention and listen to us next time.
Next time, yes.
And
Reagan. Yeah, sure. This doesn't sound good.
No, it was like a spreader opportunity or something. I mean, that the Bangkok officials should have quarantined all of the people immediately and then track and figure out if they're showing any symptoms of Marburg's. I mean, this liquefies your internal organs, basically. The thing about Marburg's is different than Ebola, both of which were worked on by our favorite Dr. Fauci, and also some of them with Dr. Brix, which is worrisome in and of itself.
Yes,
they should have done all that. And I don't know if you're short on time, but I wanted to address the food.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. This is rather important for crying out loud. It could be it's Marburg, and it could be this is the second pandemic that Gates said we were going to pay attention to if we hadn't paid enough attention to the one we were already being hit with, the COVID. Go right ahead.
Yeah. So, well, in 2009, I assisted David Knight and Paul Joseph Watson on some research into what people, it's almost been expunged from the internet. It's tough to find the articles, but you can still find them. There was an outbreak of an unidentified, highly deadly hemorrhagic flu, where they describe just such a thing with
bleeding. Yeah.
What's that?
Eye sockets bleeding and stuff. You see, this is what's used. If Americans suddenly saw their kids all bleeding from their eyes and stuff, this would run them down to get a vaccine real fast.
Oh yeah, exactly. You know where the truck is going here.
Yeah.
And the poor doctors, the first responding doctors, they would go by the wayside immediately. So then you'd have another doctor trying to save his colleague's life, and the other person, the original patient, was already dead. And then that second doctor would get it, and it was a really, really bad incident. And coincidentally, Jim, you know, my significant other, she was, and we were not together at the time, she was separately with her friend researching Marburg, and I was researching the Ukrainian flu. Incidentally, Baxter International out of Naperville, Illinois, had an undisclosed supposed level 4 biolab over in the Ukraine. There were actually 5 different biolabs operating in Ukraine.
Over
and 30. Some of them.
It was over 30.
Oh my God. I mean, if you were Putin, wouldn't you be a little concerned?
Because it's 47. It's 47.
Well, 30 in control of Ukraine. Russia has taken the other ones in the southern oblast or the eastern oblast.
But I think when they originally went in, it was 47 total. And if you look on their maps, when they sent in their army, they sent them to those labs. They immediately knew where to go.
Yeah, that's why Nuland says that she's afraid of getting rid of all these Soviet pathogens. You know, I get so tired of her.
I think that there was an attempt to have it DNA specific, much like they were doing experiments in Africa, and much to their chagrin, Ebola did not have the lasting power. It didn't have the shelf life or the half life long enough to cause what they were looking for. That's several articles on that. But switching gears completely, the food production plants, and believe me, I know a lot about food production and reselling and distributing from my former business, but Google took down one of our interactive maps wherein a very nice fellow had constructed it, and you had to have a link to a local news source, which would detail what happened. Okay, so let's say a flour mill just up and burnt up, no way to save it, chickens, and so we had all of this stuff put in place, and Google took it down because it had over 100 views and something like that. But I still have other maps. And just as a side note, if anyone wants to look up similar things, whether it be seismic, whether it be riots, whether it be pandemics, et cetera, there's a website called Global Incident Map. I think it's .com. And I use that quite frequently just to see what the people on Vanuatu slept through this particular morning. But that is super helpful. I'll forward a couple of links for the other food processing plants, but we're up into the range of ridiculousness now. I had a friend in out near Keith, it is, right, Keith?
Yeah, Keith.
Out near your way, over near Prosser, that thing just, in the county, the state wanted that land anyway, and they were the milling company, the grain company, wouldn't sell. Well, there was a sudden catastrophic fire, and I've got photos of it from my buddy who was right over there next to there. And I'm sure that there's been, on the map, there were places in Montana, not as many, but have you noticed that in Montana, any sort of beef rendering plants go up in flames?
Not cattle related and stuff like that. You'd have ranchers after your, there'd be hangings if you went after a rancher's farm and stuff like that. I'll tell you one thing though, where I buy my chicken feed, my beautiful chickens, of course. But anyway, the guy that runs the granary there, they are well aware of what's going on in the world with the WEF, the farmers and stuff. And they are, let me just put it this way, they're uniting. And all the potato farmers, remember, all your seed potatoes go to Oregon, Idaho for your Orida potatoes. They come from here to, stop the spread of blight and stuff, But sure. People don't realize that there are other networks that are being formed and stuff because, especially farming, because people do see trends. And I always, like Texas wildfire takes out so much land, Well, if they can go around and they can find homeowners for having their grass over 8 inches tall, this is just to get people on the books. See, same thing with people raising gardens, whether it's in their front yard or backyard. I got a stupid thing here in the state about I'd have to register my chickens at 15 cents a head. The state has no screws
authority.
There. Yeah, it's my chickens,
Well, that reminds me of the Mormons being forced to give specific detail of their food stores and and anything that was regarding self-sufficiency. The Mormons came under fire. The Amish came under fire many times.
Yeah, being a prepper was actually being a terrorist.
Yeah, that's why I stopped even using that word online. I didn't even type it or even say it. I just said self-sufficiency, and that's what Mike Adams and Captain James Wesley Rawls, retired intelligence from survivalblog.com, we all switched to self-sufficiency because it's kind of like saying chemtrails. We use geoengineering, use their terms, so it doesn't give you a ping. But the farmers have, I've heard stories of similar incidents to Paradise, California fire, being really anomalous. I mean, cars and homes just, turned to ash, and the surrounding trees basically unscathed. That was unprecedented. Yeah. So if you look up those,
Chile last week, it's the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. I saw Maui, whatever.
TikTok. Greece, yeah, it's Greece, just like La Jolla and all those.
Yeah, Greece the same thing.
There was
thing.
A guy on.
Oh, go ahead.
Guy on TikTok that tracked some corporation that was big in La Jolla, that they were kind of behind it, and they were also the same corporation involved with Chile, and he gave their name, and I just don't remember, but yeah, same thing.
Interesting. I mean, yeah. I have my significant, my fiance used to live, let's just say, in the Bay Area, and she sent me a bunch of photos that someone just happened to be able to catch of this purple beam, whether it was going upwards or coming downwards. I'm not sure, but the guy thought it was coming from above.
It was not, Dutch Sense had put it out.
Well, Dutch Sense covered that. And then I'm surprised he's still alive, by the way.
I know.
And rest in peace, Mike Morales, too.
Yeah.
From above ground. Recently. Yeah. So,
well, you know that you know Dutch Sense's background, don't you?
I do. I mean, I've been following him since 2008.
Okay, Michael Janis. Yeah. His father helped invent FLIR radar, and so he's keen on all these radar anomalies and stuff. So he sits there and he does the earthquake report and the weather and stuff like that. But he started watching these weather maps, and all of a sudden you see all these beams from Georgia all the way up to the north, and an airplane suddenly going down. You know.
Yeah.
But all this stuff like that.
Those beams that I mean, go ahead.
People don't realize that's why they took lead out of house paint. If you track the Trilateral Commission, it was formed in 1973, and they originally put it in to, you know, destroy the children. But then when they figured out all this 5G, everything they were going to do, I go, oh, my God, they can't penetrate the houses if there's lead in the house paint. So they pretended to be all nice. Oh, we're going to save the children and get the lead out of house paint. And they also, around the same time, they took the lead out of glass.
Yeah.
Used to have lead in your glass. And if you were sitting in a house with lead glass and lead house paint, you couldn't get zapped by their 5G towers.
You remember the one in Seattle where they could drive through a neighborhood and see who was in a house, what room they're in and stuff through their radar stuff?
Yeah. That's
Jim, I got a breaking story here.
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Bahrainian attackers have targeted the U.S. 5th Fleet over there in Bahrain, and they've gained access to a whole bunch of data. They've leaked some of it already. The hackers gained the access to the confidential documents that contains the detailed maps and pictures of the U.S. military base in Bahrain. This is where the 5th Fleet is, by the way. And they maintain that the release of this is just a small part of it, and said what they have is greater, and it will be given to those who support the resistance nexus. So is this going to be an event which is going to be caused, which will sink a ship over there? And that's why I said before, you know, that old game, you sank my battleship. You think of today's aircraft carrier with 5,000 souls on board like that, you know. If one of those things goes down, what are 5,000 men going to do that are stuck below board there trying to fight all these airplanes and stuff floating by them as they're trying to get out, you know?
Yeah, Brian.
But it's just human life. Who cares, right? And besides, the taxpayers will buy another flat-top carrier for another $3-4-15 billion, right? It's nothing.
Reagan departed. Go ahead, Brian. Give us your thoughts.
Well, when you talk about the Jews with how they'll do anything to get their way, it reminds me of Ingrid Zundel, the wife of Mr. Zundel, who went to jail, and she actually got in the archive on Nuremberg trials. And what she discovered was, we all hear how terrible Kristallnacht was in 1933, how all the Jewish businesses were destroyed by all these white people. And in reality, it was a Zionist organization called Leica in Paris that came across the border. And it was the Jewish Zionist organization that actually destroyed the Jewish shops in 1933, which I found really interesting. And, you know, Argentina, they did the same thing. And you mentioned Iraq, and it's just the way they work. They don't care about human life.
Well, they commit these false flag attacks all the time. It's their stock in trade. So. Yep. Keith, go ahead. Yeah. We got only a few, but go ahead and take advantage, my friend.
Well, I was going to say, it looks like with Zelensky's shift over there with Zeluny and stuff, that there's a lot of breakup coming over there in Ukraine right now. And you can see the Western powers are trying to reshuffle the deck right now. And it's sad, though, that it looks like they're really, and I mean really, trying to drag Poland into this. So, and I've been saying for over 2 years now to watch Poland, because, again, this goes back to the Pale of Settlement. You even heard Putin talking about Poland, Latvia, and all this stuff like that, you know. And they're trying to spin it that Russia wants to take all of Europe and stuff. Well, Russia has no idea about, even Scott Bennett has talked about that, you know. They have no idea about doing that. Again, it's back to their border security. And just as much as America or any other one. But again, under the WEF, UN, the UN and the WEF calls the country states. So, again, there's no sovereignty. It's all being done under tolerance, equity, and stuff. They're going to blend everyone together, and it's not going to work. And even George Soros said that over there. No, it was Kissinger. Kissinger said that in Germany, that our... he put a name on it. Our multiculturalism has failed because it showed that people all over the world who can live together without governments prodding them and stuff can take up for a cause, whether it's the Palestinian effort or the farmers and stuff. And this multiculturalism has got everyone blended together now as a group, which is what the entire COVID thing was about, was to separate people.
Hey, great job, my friend.
Nice to you. Hope you feel better.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.